Hey everyone, my name's Kira Miller and I am the host of the What's Your Life Journey podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again with us and this time with our guest, Catherine Cimarelli from the band Cimarelli. They're big on YouTube and also big social media influencer group, I'd say. So yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We're excited to hear your story today. So Catherine, who would you say Catherine Cimarelli was in really the beginning of this journey of not being able to rest and striving to feel good enough for your worth?
Mm-hmm. Do you mean like in childhood, like the really beginning?
Like what, from the first stage that you can remember, who do you feel like you were at that time?
I feel like the best way to sum it up for people to understand would just be the phrase people pleaser, which I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
It's just like this sort of way of living your life where you put yourself last, you kind of like, you're always putting the needs of others before yourself, which like is a good thing in theory, but it can go way too far to the point where you are like neglecting yourself and running yourself into the ground. And I feel like since childhood, I've just very, very naturally been that like people pleasing type of person that always wanted to be loved and to be good enough and to impress people by like how good I was and how much I could offer them and how much I could help and how supportive I was, you know, just everything. So it's like it starts to become about other people. So I would say like really just from childhood, I can't even, maybe when I was really young, actually, yeah, that's true. When I was really young, like probably, I don't know, up until the age of 7 or 8, I was the opposite. I was like very angry and moody and rebellious. So threw a lot of tantrums.
Because you were a people pleaser before that or no?
No, that was before. Separate. So I was just a very like, I feel like I was very angry and I tried to run away a lot. I would lock myself in my room. So like, I think that was sort of me like being expressive, being like more honest. Right. And then at some point a switch just flipped and then I became very like compliant and just like, okay, whatever people need me to be, like, I'm going to be that person. And I just remember kind of shutting down all my emotions pretty young so that I could just fit whatever mold people needed me to fit. So
interesting. So do you feel like your intentions behind it were not necessarily like pure hearted, or do you think, not that they were
being
bad,
a people pleaser?
Yeah. But do you feel like it was more maybe self-gratifying than what you thought?
I think it was more just this desperate desire of wanting to be seen by people and wanting to be loved. And it was just constantly like on this treadmill of like, love just felt very conditional. And I was like, if I don't constantly earn it, then it's not going to be there. Mm. So I just worked really hard to try to like earn it from people.
Yeah. How did you see this like playing out in friendships, any sort of relationships, really like family, friendships?
Yeah. So
how did it define you, I guess, in the different roles of your life?
So for family, I would say I don't know how this really even happened. I don't know if it's just naturally in me or if I just took on this role, but I grew up in a really big family. Yep. So there's 11 kids and I was the third oldest. And my two older siblings have very strong personalities, whereas I'm a little more laid back, a little more chill. Yeah, I'm a little softer, definitely. And so I think it just sort of naturally happened that I became very much like this caretaking type of person where I would just be like the caretaker.
Yep.
And my mom really took to that. Like she really appreciated that. And she kind of called me like her sunshine. Yep. And like, so I don't think that was like her intention, but I think for me as a kid, I took that to mean like I needed to be happy and I needed to be, you know, pleasant and need to like bring joy to people all the time. And I think I just took that way too far so that to the point where like, I don't know, I would just always be running around trying to help the family, like helping with the siblings or cleaning the kitchen or whatever it was to sort of like, you know, take the stress off my parents or take, you know, the tension if there was a problem or anything. So I just always would take that onto myself. And I think, and I developed a lot of anxiety. I started having panic attacks when I was like 6 or 7.
Whoa.
And I would just always be kind of in this state of trying to, I think I tried to control if there was any problem in my family or anything by trying to be like the glue. And then in friendships, I always had friends like from when I was young. I've always been really outgoing, really friendly, and just like sort of the I wasn't like the, you know, the perfectionist who excels at anything. Right. I was kind of failing. Like
good at everything though?
Yeah. Especially okay. compared yeah. to my older sister, Christina. Right. She was like, you know, cause I feel like anyone who has older siblings watching this, like you always compare yourself yep. yeah, mm-hmm. to your older sibling.
It. Yep.
Yeah. It's like, you're always like looking at them. And like my older sister was this high achieving, mm-hmm. very perfectionistic person.
Yep.
And I would just try all these things, you know, gymnastics, swimming, whatever it was. And I feel like I would just fail at them. Mm-hmm. Whereas like she would always be excelling. So it was like, I just sort of was like, okay, well, I can't really like do all these things on her level, but I'm really good at people. And like, yeah. I just kind of naturally knew like, I'm really friendly. People like me, like I can make friends. And yeah. that was sort of like my strength. So I always had friends, and that was never, I never really struggled to make friends. But in middle school, actually, I ended up in this friend group of five girls, and there was sort of like a leader and then other ones. And like, I mean, I think that's honestly very typical of that middle school, early Absolutely. High school age. But it was just a very toxic kind of situation where there was a lot of insecurity in the group. There was a lot of criticizing. Yep. There was a lot of like talking about, like as soon as one girl left the room, like everyone else would talk about them.
Right.
And so that Bullying. Sort of just, that yeah. was my life for 5 years as like, you know, early teens. I was very insecure, very caught up in this like gossiping, criticizing thing. And that really like wore on my self-esteem. I never really stood up for myself. I just sort of like took it and took it and took it. But I also have this very natural sort of sense of like anger at injustice.
Yep.
And that kind of built up inside of me.
Yeah.
So finally, after like 5 years of that, I snapped. But it took me a long time and a lot of just taking people like criticizing and yep. putting you down to finally like stand up for myself. Like I remember it just got worse and worse. And there was a period where like I was 15 or 16. I remember like we were driving to a concert in the car, and like they were talking about, they made some super inappropriate joke about me being in love with like someone's dad or something. Oh, it was like, gosh. It was like really weird and just like, just very like humiliating.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, but you wouldn't do that because you're too Christian. Like, it was just like this very like, and I'm like, these are my friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know, quote, friends.
Friends,
like,
yeah.
Friend, like, but to me, that was all that I knew. Mm-hmm. And that was my only like close group of friends. So I feel like I really just became one of them rather than standing up for myself. So that was definitely negative.
They probably didn't really seem to appreciate you too much or didn't.
I mean,
it or maybe was, they did in certain ways, but then there are other yeah. things that overpowered that.
I would say, okay, so we have a song called Acid Rain
yep.
that my sister Lauren wrote, mm-hmm. and she really described this well. She was saying, this is how you know a relationship is toxic. If you are kind of going back and forth. So like half the time it's really good,
yeah.
but the other half the time it's really bad. Mm, and so yep. it wasn't like they were always mean, because if they were always mean to me, I think that would be pretty obvious. Like, right. oh, this is really
get
bad.
Out of there really
but they
quick.
Were really nice sometimes, yeah. but it was just like, then there were these moments of criticizing. So it was like, you didn't really know. I feel like I was just constantly like, oh, what am I going to wear? Because I don't want it to be like the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. What am I going to say? I don't want it to be the wrong thing. So it was like just this very conformist mentality of like, which is so not me. I'm mm-hmm. very nonconformist.
Yep,
so that just killed me for like years to just put myself in a box. But I was insecure. Right. So I didn't really yeah. know what else to do.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel like during that time, how did you meet your needs? Essentially.
Oh gosh.
And did you?
No, I don't yeah. think I did.
And so what happened as a result?
Oh man. I remember when I was 14, walking around my hometown, and I just remember I was in like the town center area, and I was looking out at this fountain. And I just remember that was like the first time I had ever really been aware of myself. Like I have memories before that, but they were all kind of blurry and like not very clear. And I just remember thinking like, I feel dead inside. I feel very numb. And I just remember thinking, like, I feel like I'm kind of floating out of my body, like, disassociated from myself. And that was, like, this very clear moment, like, this is a weird, this is, like, I don't think I'm supposed to, like, I feel like I'm always happy on the outside because people always, you know, want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, on the inside, I feel so numb and so dead that it was just, like, this very strange difference yeah. in contrast.
So was that after the friend group?
Or? That was right in the middle of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were like just on a walk by yourself. So it was kind of yeah. in that time when you actually got to be alone.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I was never really alone, because I was always with my family mm-hmm. and we were all homeschooled. So yep. we were always together. Or I was like with that group of friends, like, or doing, I was very, very active. Like I did musical theater. I did swim team. Like I just was, anytime my mom was like, okay, who wants to try like this new activity? I'd be like, me, I'll try
really?
It. So
yeah.
like I did every, like tons right. of sports, youth group. I was at church like four nights a week, like volunteering, doing different things. So I was always very active. And that was, I think that was sort of how I dealt with this, these painful feelings inside of like insecurity and sort of like rejection from my friends, was just by filling up my life with things so that I never really had the time. Like in that moment, that was one of the rare times I remember really like just not being alone. Anything. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So now that you feel numb in this moment, like what happened after that, I guess?
I think I just kind of noted that and I didn't really do much about it. I started, I think, so for me, music became a really big part of my life at that time.
Okay.
I was kind of like, I wanted to copy my older brother at first and be cool. Yep. So I kind of started listening to like rap and like punk. Like, I don't know. My favorite band was The Clash and also like The Offspring. And like, I would just listen to like whatever my older brother listened to because I thought that was cool. And sort of like, I feel like the sort of anger and grit of that music, it sort of helped just really subtly. I didn't even know, but like it helped me express this sort of like this sense of injustice that was building inside of me. And then when I became like kind of mid-teen, like, you know, 15, 16, 17, I started getting into emo music. And that became my outlet, like Dashboard Confessional, like just these, and like Mayday Parade, just like these really like gritty, intense songs. And then I just started getting into indie and I listened to like sad songs all the time. So like without even knowing it, music became this outlet that was sort of like just building. And and I would just listen to these songs obsessively all the time. And like I always had music on in my room. I feel like that sort of helped me with my anxiety. I wasn't even aware of the anxiety because I didn't really know what it was, but it was always there. And so I'd make these playlists and I'd listen to them every single day and every night. And also a big thing that happened was when I was 16, that was like this sort of awakening for me where I was having problems with all the friends. And I actually stood up to, for myself for the first time. My older sister, Christina, encouraged me. She was like, Kath, you need to stand up for yourself. You need to be honest with how you're feeling. And I was like, what? How do I even do that? I think for one of the girls, I wrote her a letter just kind of expressing what I was feeling. And then that was terrifying. I don't think it even fixed the problem, but like it felt so good. Like, and then for the other ones, like I remember it was, okay, so this is weird, but it was Halloween and they all wanted to be the Spice Girls for Halloween. And they were like, I didn't really want to do that. Like I, okay, that's the thing. So as a kid, going to explain that, I loved making my own costumes.
Okay. And yeah, that's right. That was you
like,
still do.
Yeah. I still like love the creativity. Like I would always just make my costumes by hand, like crafting. And so that was like a big thing for me. And so with this group of friends, they always wanted to do a group costume. And usually it was something like that just didn't really require a lot of creativity. And so we were going to be the Spice Girls that year. And I remember like we were in Target and we were looking at, and it was like really close to Halloween. I didn't have a costume and I was kind of, they wanted me to be Posh Spice because she had brown hair.
Okay.
And they were like, I remember one of the girls pulled out like this, like really, this like nighty, like a very like inappropriate type. And she was like, she just looked at me and was like joking, like, oh, Kath, you should wear this.
Oh,
like
gosh.
It was just making fun of the fact that I would never wear something like that. And then they all started laughing. And I remember that just was it for me. I was like, this is not okay. And I just like snapped. And I was like, I told them, I was like, I think a few days later, I was like, I'm going to do my own costume and you guys can do whatever you want, but I'm not like, I'm not going to be a Spice Girl.
Whoa.
And they were so mad at me. And the leader of the group texted me. She's like, thanks for ruining Halloween.
Oh my gosh.
And I just started bawling. I was babysitting at the time and I was like, oh, I ruined Halloween. But like, but I did something about it and they all made fun of me. And like, you know, like I remember hearing stuff that they had said about me and one of the other girls who had gone off on her own, but I snapped.
Teenage
I was so
drama.
Done and I couldn't handle it anymore. And that just sent me off on this period of searching. And I just, for the first time in my life, I was just like, who am I? What am I beyond like all of these people's? And it's not just that friend group. I feel like that was just really the surface of like, that was what brought me, like, I honestly feel like God brought that in my life. Like that was what pushed me over the edge of this lifelong pattern of just complying, being what people wanted and just putting myself like last and never really asking like, is this actually good for me? And so I just went off on this journey. And for this, I remember this summer, it was so pivotal for me. I just started searching, who am I? My biggest thing was books. My aunt's an English teacher and I asked her for suggestions and I went, I was very snobby. I kind of can be like an elitist about certain things, which is so, so lame. But just certain things I'm pretty like, oh yeah, this is what it has to be. Yeah. Like, so I was like, it has to be like these well-respected books that have stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, I was like, I can't read like these modern books because these are fluff. So I was like 16 years old, but I was like, I got to read the classics. So
yeah.
I just went down to the library and I started getting all of these classic books. And I remember like reading like Catcher in the Rye and like Joy Luck Club, like these books that were, they were just lots of different cultures, lots of, oh, the Chosen, that was another one about like Jewish culture. And like I just started immersing myself in these different worlds and kind of thinking about life a lot more philosophically. And I just started realizing like there's so much more to this life than my little problems. And it sort of brought me out of myself. And for the, and I feel like that sort of helped me.
So the books.
The books were the big thing. And it was also like writing. I started writing poetry all the time. And I was, that was something I loved since childhood, but I'd sort of put it away when I was in that group because we were always like shopping or, you know, watching reality TV or reading, you know, magazines and just like hanging out and getting ice cream. Like everything was just very like shallow teenage, you know, that's what teenagers do.
Yeah.
But I was always this very like deep old soul. So that didn't really match my personality, but I loved people. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like this, you know, this conflict.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it was the writing, it was the reading, and it was also, I started skateboarding and I started playing the bass. Yeah. Huh. And so I would just skateboard all the time in my neighborhood. I just started, I started to feel like, you know, I feel like for the first time I started to gain this sense of self-worth, like, I'm a cool person. Like I felt like I never really felt pretty or like I didn't really like, I didn't think I was good looking at all, but I was like, I have a cool personality. And when I read those books, I was like, and I have something to say.
Yeah.
Like I have an opinion.
Right.
And I just started to become this much more strong-willed, like stubborn person that I feel like had always been inside of me, but was crushed. So that was a very long answer, but that's sort of the middle era that I can remember.
The more information, the better. So... Yeah. Okay, so you're like 16 at this point?
When like 16, 17, that was when it sort of,
I guess so that was like, what, almost 10 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
So kind of, I guess, talk about your journey then after you told them off, which you just kind of did. You're like talking about how you really started becoming your own person. But this has still been a struggle for you. And I think maybe always will. Like, I think there's sometimes... Like, it seems like there's one thing that we always kind of struggle with throughout our entire lives. And we're
has that thing.
Yes, exactly. So how now, I guess, in the last, like, 10 years, how has this kept popping up in your life? Like, in the band, in relationships, in friendships, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, how does that keep popping up for
you?
And how do you, I guess, how do you overcome it, too?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like for me, I have, so I have, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself in different ways. I'm very perfectionistic in my own way. It's not like my older sister where like she achieves all of these things and like she's very like career focused. Whereas like for me, I'm much more idealistic. So I have these ideals for everything that I do. And one, we've talked about this and we relate. So like everything I do, like you know, for a boyfriend or for a friend or for how I should behave, I have these very high standards that I'm always placing. So I feel like, even though I did have this sort of awakening in my teenage years, that was just the first of like many sort of like struggles and things that I needed to learn along the way. And I'm still like really, you know, struggling with this problem of like resting and feeling good enough and also like not doing too many things in my schedule. So next, after shortly after that whole period, I ended up moving down to Southern California where my sisters and I were pursuing our music career. We had a record deal and we were doing a lot of like career things. And so I just remember in Malibu, it was a very isolated place. And that was sort of this period of my life where I went into the sort of like, I feel like it was my second like
wave of,
of like teenage young adult life. And I just became very, very involved in my church. And that was sort of like, that was a blessing and a curse because that church was really my saving grace. I was so, so lonely in Malibu and so isolated. And I found this church community that I felt like I was appreciated. I was seen. They didn't really have much help. So they saw me as this young adult who came in and was like, hey, what can I help with?
Yeah.
And they were like, help with everything. So
of
like,
course.
You know, and of course that's, it's my fault too, because I don't really think I knew much about boundaries, but I just like, so I just took on every role and I was like, I was in like, I think three or four different ministries of like just different things. So I'd be at that church once again, just like my teenage years, like you know, 3 to 4 nights a week doing different like ministries and helping out. And it was fun, but it was exhausting. And beyond that, I just filled myself up with every activity I could possibly do. Like anytime a friend asked me for anything or to do anything with them, I would always say yes without even really thinking, you know, if I was free that night. Yeah, exactly. And the concept of having free time or rest time just never really occurred to me. Like, I mean, I had that sometimes, but it was more of like an accident. It wasn't like I ever planned that or like downtime. That just was not a concept. So I just remember for years in Malibu, I filled my schedule as much as I could. And I ended up just having like this constant sense of like burnout where I was like waking up early, going to bed late, waking up early, going to bed late, doing things from morning until night and just like filling up my days and like to the brim. And once again, I think this was really a way for me to deal with anxiety, which I still haven't really mastered how to deal with that, but I just wasn't really aware of it. And so I just started pushing things. And then I started actually going to therapy when I was 20, so 6 years ago, because I knew that my anxiety was kind of like getting into a bad place.
Yeah.
And I also was like studying psychology. So I started realizing like, what does it look like to be a healthy person?
Yeah.
And I felt like I was missing all these things. So that was something that helped me a lot. But I feel like that second chapter in Malibu was just like, I was doing a lot of good things, but I was so tired. And when I look at pictures of myself from that time, I feel like I always have like dark circles under my eyes because I was just like pushing myself. Yeah. And it was so hard because like my work life, you know, there were periods where it was very busy and then I would keep going at full speed with like my personal life and just like volunteering and everything. And I just never really knew how to say no or put my foot down. So that was sort of like the second period of all of it.
Yeah. And so what were, I guess, the practices and maybe, I mean, really just practices that you did after realizing that, you know, you were starting to fill your time up like way too much. So what were like, what were some things you started doing that really helped you to, I guess, slow down and simplify?
Yeah, well, I didn't really do that at all in Malibu.
So it's been a lot more recently.
I feel like I was just very, it's definitely been after that period, just in the last couple of years. But one thing that I did pretty religiously, and I feel like this was my way of resting, was going on walks at the ocean every day. Because I lived a mile from the beach. So pretty much every single day I would go down to the beach and walk. And like, that was such a restful like time. And I would listen to music and really contemplate, you know, my life and write a lot of poems.
So you did have something at least.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
And I definitely had, you know, sometimes when I was chilling, but that wasn't really very common. So I feel like it's been a much more recent thing that I've kind of tried. I'm trying to even think of when was the first.
Yeah. Like what sparked that? I mean, did it take like some, not heartbreak necessarily, but did it take some like very exhausting situation for you to finally be like, I mean, because that already happened to again.
So there was a period in, I think it was end of 2013, maybe, where I was sick from September through February. And I just couldn't really get well. Like I always had a cold or I got like these really intense flus. Like I just kept getting sick and I never really felt better. And I remember I went to the doctor because I'd been sick for a month. And I was just like, I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but I never have a cold or flu for this long.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, you're fine. They tested me for stuff. And they were like, yeah, just gargle salt water or something. I don't even know. But it was just like.
And rest probably.
Yeah. Which I didn't really think of the whole resting thing. So I think I remember in December, I finally allowed myself to rest. And that was when I started to get better. But then I fell right back off the wagon with Christmas and all the activities. And then I just got sick again and couldn't really get well. That really should have been a wake up call, honestly. Yeah. But I really think in the last couple of years, what sort of struck me was actually 2016. So 2 years ago, really, it hasn't really been that long. I went on a walk and I can share this with you. This was actually I like to write when I'm walking a lot, just on my phone, like poems or reflections. So I had this reflection in 2016 on Christmas Day, and I was on a walk, and I just wrote down this whole thing about, I'll just read it to you. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm coming off 2016 feeling reflective, grateful, but also a little tired. One of the greatest struggles of my young adult life has been finding balance. I tend to overbook and overcommit to the point of exhaustion and sometimes illness. When I moved to Nashville, I felt like God was giving me a major chance to have a fresh start. A new city with no commitments, no friends, and no obligations. At first, the days felt strange and eerily quiet. I had time to do things like go on walks, sit on the carpet in my room for hours and think. I read and wrote more than I did in a while. I was terrified and lonely when I first moved to Nashville, but also excited. Because I didn't have any friends.
True, you guys didn't know anybody.
Yeah, I was deeply grateful for the newness of the blank page before me. It was essential, and while it was hard and scary, I needed it. Over these last 2 years, it seems I have begun slipping. So this is sort of like the third wave was like Nashville.
Yeah.
When I sort of slipped back into like bad habits. Early mornings, staying up too late. Too much coffee, rushing, pushing the gas pedal because I'm running late again. Calendar pages blurred with coffee dates, weddings, volunteering, events, and commitments. Looking back, it was all good things that stemmed from good desires and healthy intentions. Or sorry, good intentions and healthy desires. Because I don't know if that's really... I don't know, healthy intentions, but my desires are and always have been in no particular order. Number one, to have a vibrant, rich social life. Number two, to have true, healthy friendships. Number three, to give my time and talents to the community by helping out with the causes and ministries that I feel called to. Number four, to enrich my spiritual life and grow closer to God daily. Number five, to love my family well and be there for them. Number six, to be healthy and take care of my body. Number seven, to grow constantly, have adventures, and experience new things.
A lot of priorities.
It's a lot of priorities.
A lot of time.
Yeah. Too. As I said, I believe these are all good, but reading through this list and thinking back on my year, I feel like I've fallen short. Not because I didn't push myself to give every ounce of my time and energy to these goals, because I did. What I've learned at 24 is that when you do too much, everything starts to blur together and you become numb. It's like you turn up the volume on your life so much that you become deaf and you can't even hear the music anymore. And then I said I stopped hearing the music on our European tour. It was one of those classic Catherine weekends, traveling out of state to a wedding, shopping and packing and rehearsing for tour, while also editing a book and managing our album release campaign.
Yeah,
I became so numb and tired that I could barely think. I remember being at the wedding and all I felt was sadness. I was so overworked, overwhelmed, and stressed. I kept telling myself I could do it all, but the reality was that I couldn't. I was crashing and burning. There have been many nights the last few months where I stayed up late and I felt an immense shame that my life had become out of control. I would be in church apologizing to God. I'm sorry that I really can't focus on you right now. Just let me get some sleep and I promise I will be better. When you are underslept and overwhelmed, it's easier to spend way too much money, to eat junk food, to stop working out, and worst of all, to struggle. This is the part that really is like I wanted to share, but to struggle to be present to the family and friends that are right in front of you.
Yep.
I noticed many times these past few months that a family member or friend would be talking to me and I would start zoning out. A voice inside of me would bark, "Concentrate!" And I would pray for God to help me to focus and be present, even though all I wanted to do was be in my bed with my eyes closed and nothing to focus on.
So interesting. I kind of feel like that's like me right now.
Really?
Yeah, because I keep noticing myself saying, "Concentrate, concentrate," in the back of my mind. Because I just think my mind's all over the place lately, and I've got, you know, different things. And I texted Christina today and was like, "Oh, I'm not really feeling super excited for the podcast today," because I was just like, I just can't concentrate lately. For some reason, like, I've been struggling with that.
Feel like you've been overworking.
Yeah, exactly. And I told her, I was like, I want one of those days where I can literally just sit around and do nothing.
Yes.
But that's not coming in the future. So hopefully this next week with 4th of July. But
it's always like these elusive, like, "Oh, I'm really tired, but like, I know sometime in the future I'll have this day." And you just think about yourself like doing nothing and it just sounds delicious.
Yeah,
you're like,
it does.
You don't have any of those coming up.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's nice to not have that, but
like
every now and then a person just needs to rest, you know?
Regularly.
But it is. Yeah, that's the thing. It needs to be more of a regular everyday thing.
Yes.
Small doses than it does like one day where you just veg out.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what society tells us is it's like work hard, work hard, work hard, and then rest one day, whatever, or rest over Christmas break or whatever that looks like. And
rather than incorporating it more regularly
into your everyday life. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's like the really hard part with a lot of people is they don't really understand that. And they just think like, make the most out of every single day, put the most into every single day.
Live life to the fullest.
Yeah.
With no regrets.
Exactly.
That's like the quote of our generation.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, live life to the fullest, but like, what does that really mean?
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
But I feel like for you, I mean, obviously, I guess I've known you for like, what, 2 or 3 years now? And I feel like you are at least right now in a better place because even though you still have like a hectic schedule and always will, you've simplified a lot in your life. So talk about like simplifying and, yeah. and minimalism and all that kind of yeah. stuff, and how that's like really helping yeah. you in the process.
That's like my theme this year was yeah. I think we both like pick a word yep. for the year. Mm-hmm. And last year my word was rest, and that was just a fail. I mean, yeah. actually for about 6 months of the year, I kind of was like a little bit better. Okay. And then I just fell off. And then mm-hmm. for the next 6 months, I was just bad.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like my addiction is like being busy. Yep. I mean, like in a, such a bad way of just like avoiding things by mm-hmm. being busy. But yep. this year, my word was much more like intentional. I feel like because rest, I feel like is super broad.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like it's a good thing, but it just mm-hmm. didn't work for me. But this year, my word was simplify. So I just wanted to kind of pare down. Honestly, a big part of this, I think, is my boyfriend, Max. Mm. He is an introvert, and he definitely like naturally takes life at like a more relaxed yep. pace. And like, that's just so different than me. Like I move so quickly just because I'm usually late and I usually have way too yep. many things to do. So I'm just like multitasking, you know, when right. I cook, I'm just throwing everything everywhere. Like, I mean, it's just yep. like, I'm very messy yep. person. I'm not like neat. And he's just very concentrated and slow. Mm. And he gives himself so much time for every task, which is like, it's amazing that he naturally has more of that balanced way of living. Yep. And as we've gotten closer, because we've been dating for just about coming up on 9 months, I feel like I've sort of synced up a little bit closer to his rhythm, mm. which has been so awesome. So I think for the first time, because I have this person in my life that I care about so much,
yeah.
every single week I'm looking at my schedule saying, okay, what nights am I going to see Max? Mm. And that's like my first, you know, when I'm planning.
Yeah.
And so for the first time, it's like, oh, you needed another person to actually slow down, which is kind of sad. But yeah. it's like, but I want to be able to see him. So like,
right.
I think having him has really helped me to like calm down my pace mm-hmm. a little bit and just focus on what's in the moment. But this year I really wanted to simplify. So I've been trying to just, I don't know. I feel like I'm still sort of getting the mindset right.
Yeah.
We're in June, so we're like halfway through. Mm-hmm. But I started watching some documentaries on minimalism
okay.
and just like watching YouTube videos and budgeting and just sort of like this idea of living a greater life with less stuff.
Mm, yep.
And I feel like having less stuff gives you like more energy, because the more stuff you have, the more you have to manage it. You have to clean it. You have to organize yep. it. Like just in every way, it's just, it bogs you down. So I'm trying to get rid of my stuff,
mm.
not only like clothes and, you know, belongings, but also relationships. That I know it sounds kind of sad, but like I've realized that, and this is actually something I learned from my favorite author, Shauna Nyquist. Woo-hoo, mm, shout yep. out to Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
She's the best. Love her. I've read all her times? Books like 5 times. Yeah. I love her. But her book, Present Over Perfect, yep. that was something that I'd kind of already been thinking about, just because I don't know, it's just sort of been on my mind a lot. But she has this amazing book called Present Over Perfect. And she really talks about what it means to like pare down and have a simpler life. And I really need to reread that one again, but I've read it like 3 times mm-hmm. now. But she talks about your home team and how your home team is like your closest circle of family and friends.
Okay.
And she was saying like, you need to really be focusing on taking care of your home team. And if you're going to this outer circle of people that are kind of more like acquaintances, and not that you should never make new friends.
Right,
or like,
of course.
Obviously, you know, there's balance and everything. You've but like
a core.
But if you're constantly like just available to any acquaintance and any friend at any time, you're probably going to be neglecting your home team.
Yep.
So I've been trying really hard to do that, like focus more of my energy on less people. And honestly, my boyfriend's been a big part of that. Yep. Like, because that really, and even just seeing that, like 9 months of pouring my heart into one person
yeah.
and not, I haven't been neglecting my other friendships
right.
in any sense. Like I've still been keeping them, mm-hmm. you know, healthy, but really that's just shown me how like, it's so cool when you dedicate energy specifically to one person or one thing. And how that just is so deep and so life-giving yeah. rather than having coffee with all these people that you only see every couple months. And that's kind yeah. of what I used to do, is like, I was just so busy. I would just say yes to all these people. And I love people. I fall in love with people so much. Mm-hmm. And like, to this day, there's still so many girls in Nashville, especially in California, yeah. but because I live in Nashville,
right.
that I just absolutely love and I want to go to coffee with mm-hmm. all the time. But if I were to see all of them, yeah. I would only be seeing people like once every 3 months.
Right.
And that's just not a deep relationship with anyone. Yep. So I'm trying to pour more into less people. So I sat down and I made a list of friends that I thought would be a good idea to just pour more. And you're, of course, one of them.
Yep.
And I feel like we've been good. Like we yeah. have life talks pretty regularly.
Well, and you're really good about making time still for yeah. other people. Cause like, you know, and you guys have only been dating for 9 months. Like
right.
you're kind of still in a honeymoon phase.
Yeah,
like probably.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
it's kind of wild that you can still make time for other people
yeah.
during that.
Definitely.
During that season.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But I think the even deeper thing about this new season is worth. And I feel like, because, you know, you could say, oh, I'm so busy. I have bad time management. Yep. Like, you know, I'm always running late. I need to, you know, plan better. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. But that is the surface. What is the deeper issue for you? So for me, it was really this sense of self-worth and feeling like if I didn't give my all 110% to every person that asked me, then I would feel lonely or left out or ignored or dismissed. Like, it was just this constant, like, I need to keep proving myself. I need to always be there so people will keep inviting me. I didn't want to miss out. Excuse me. I didn't want to just be this like background person. So I think that was why I just pushed myself to always be there for people rather than like, but sometimes you have to be there. So that's what I'm really trying to get to the core of the issue, which is like loving myself and giving myself grace to rest. Because to give yourself rest is like, it's hard. I don't know. It's like you have to really love yourself to give yourself time.
Yeah.
To like, so that's something else I'm trying. Like, first it was like, okay, I'm dating this guy. Like, I need to, you know, make time for him. But then it was like, I need to make time for myself. Mm-hmm. And like, so now I'm trying to do that every single week. I'll plan like a night for like self-care.
Yeah.
And I'll try to keep some time on the weekends free for self-care and just like really give much more of a priority to doing things, like, you know, having time for myself, which I still struggle with this every single week.
Yep.
And even in the self-care times, a lot of times it ends up just becoming like cleaning or, you know, something that's not really that relaxing. But I am trying and I'm like trying to get better.
Yeah. So the worth thing, like, what would you say you're kind of telling yourself now that you, that allows you to rest, to actually rest? Like, do you, is there something maybe like an affirmation that you say to yourself, like, I am worthy of this, or
you know. I actually have, I think my therapist gave this to me. I can't remember, but I had this little thing that I wrote on a sticky note and then it fell off my mirror. But my friend, my awesome friend, Sarah, that we both know, she, Sarah Fergon, she painted me something and I have it in my room still and I look at it all the time. Well, actually there's two things, but it's just the simple phrase, I am enough.
Oh yeah.
And that's sort of like what I meditate on, is just being enough as I am without having to push or or like just please people or be what people need me to be. That's like a huge one. And then the other one, which is actually a Bible quote, is be still and know that I am God. And that I have that actually in two different places in my room. And that one I just look at all the time and just think, like, sometimes it's like I'm afraid of people getting hurt and I want to be the savior. That's another big part of this whole problem. So just knowing that I am not God, God is God, and I'm just a servant, that helps me realize, like, okay, Kath, you are not the answer to everyone's problems. Right. You can't just be there for everyone. And even if you were, you're not going to solve their problems. Like, that's not your job. Your job is to be a servant. And being a servant requires resting.
Yeah.
Like, to be a good servant, you have to, like, be able to take your time to rest. So
yeah.
Trying to balance that is, like, really important for me.
And I think that's so refreshing, too, to know I can be still before I go out into the world and serve. And like,
definitely
to know that you can be really at peace with who you are and to just rest. I mean, I don't know. It's like, I think it's so refreshing to know that you really can just rest before whatever you have to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's obviously something that so many people struggle with and like don't even realize they're struggling with because they don't take the time to think about it.
Because you think, oh, I just have a busy, full life. Like, it seems like a good
thing
on the surface. And it is fun. Like, you do a lot of fun things, but like I was kind of saying in that journal entry, when you get to this certain point where you're doing so many things, it's like you're just, you to become numb. And it's just hard to like, it's like you can't enjoy everything because the music is so loud and the colors are so loud and like everything is just full volume that you're like, ah.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So,
okay. So now that you're really like simplifying and just in a much better place with resting and knowing your worth.
Yes.
Who would you say Catherine Simrelli is today, right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. Man, I'm a work in progress.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Aren't we all?
I'm trying to embrace all the parts of myself. Like, I was reading something recently that was saying like that every woman has this like, you know, angry, moody side.
So true.
I know. And it's like, and I think every person, you know, it's like, it's across the board, but this was specifically for women.
Okay.
And I was like, that is so true. And I feel like, and they were saying like how every person disowns parts of themselves. I felt like for me, the biggest part of myself that I disowned was this part that was like, ever angry or upset. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like if I felt those two things, I couldn't show them because that was not allowed. Okay. Like, I only can be happy and, like, you know, mm-hmm. people pleasing all the yeah. time. So I've been recently trying to be, I know it sounds wad, but like embrace my anger yeah. or embrace my upsetness. Like, mm-hmm. I just realized that that's human. Like, no person is going to be perfectly happy all the time right. or perfectly nice, you mm-hmm. know? And if you are perfectly, quote, nice all the time, you're probably going to be very passive aggressive. Yep. It's just because it's not, like, people are people, and even the most loving person could mistreat you at some yeah. point or say something that offends you. Like, that's just human nature. Mm-hmm. And especially for me as a very sensitive person, like, I tend to take things personally anyway. So I have to allow myself to just say things. So I feel like in this season of my life, who I am now, I'm still very empathetic and yep. compassionate, and I care deeply about people. And I want, like, I, in my mind, I will never let go of this ideal that, like, yeah. I want to be the friend that is always there for someone right. and that answers that call. Like, I mm-hmm. always want to be there, but I realize that I can't necessarily do that. So
at least
I
not
have
for
to,
everybody.
At least not for everyone yeah. all the time. Mm-hmm. You can be that at certain times for people. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, that's still something that I, you know, strive for, but I feel like I'm just accepting that I am just one person. I'm not, can't be everywhere at all times. Yeah. And I'm trying to embrace those parts of myself that maybe are angry sometimes if there's an injustice or if I feel like someone mistreated me, and being honest and saying that to their face. That's something that I've actually really enjoyed doing the last few years, is just confronting people in a nice yeah. way. I tend to be very diplomatic just naturally. Like, I don't want to hurt someone or make them feel bad.
Yeah.
If anything, I only would confront someone when I really truly feel like I can come to a place of peace with them and yeah. we can, like, this will make us grow closer. So
right.
I'm trying to just be the Catherine that is fully herself and just a human who is angry sometimes, a human yeah. that gets upset, and a human that speaks up against injustice or against somebody, you know, mistreating you. Like, I'm trying to be my full, you know, yeah. in all of my brokenness and all of my flaws and me being too sensitive, whatever, you know, all that stuff. I'm trying to embrace all of that.
Well, it's awesome too, because I think everyone that I've met, when they meet you the first time, they're just like, you can tell she's just the most, like, genuine, empathetic person, and like, just so warm, because that's your personality is very warm. And I think it's awesome though that you're kind of allowing yourself now to be genuine to yourself, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because
right. yeah,
now you're, I mean, now you're allowing yourself to experience your full self, and you weren't doing that before, and you probably would lash out on people, like, unexpectedly, because people probably wouldn't expect that from you. But now maybe it's going to be a little more expected because you're being your full person.
Well, I feel like if you lash out at someone and it's super over the top, it's usually because it's been building up for a long time.
Exactly.
And I'm realizing if you just say things in the moment before they've gone way too far, then usually it's just pretty, you know, it might be a little angry, but
or
it's
awkward.
Not. It's just like, more of just like, hey, did you mean that? Or like, that really hurt my feelings. You know, like, that's a simple statement that will usually, it's building a bridge. That's what your goal is, to build a bridge and get over it, you know, honestly.
True.
But not just like let all this stuff fill up under the bridge and then it's just flooding everywhere. So.
Yeah. No, I commend you for that, because that's hard. Like,
it is really hard, but it's so worth it.
So worth it.
Being honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so, and that's something I'm really trying to practice with my boyfriend too. Like, just telling him anytime something is a little bit off to me, even if I feel silly or stupid or like I'm being dramatic, it's like, you're going to thank yourself for not letting that build up.
Yeah.
Because that's, I've actually heard that too. Like, in relationships, the ones that end up falling apart are generally the ones where they never argue or fight, not in a disrespectful way, but just like, if you never share what's bothering you, you're never
gonna know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just gonna build up over time, and then it's just gonna explode.
Yeah, and I have to explode as humans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting. So yeah, I mean, I think we're about done. Well, what is one Bible verse quote, which you kind of already have shared, I think.
Yeah.
What is one Bible verse quote, or even maybe like a story that you've heard from somebody else where you're like, wow, this is me. I relate to this so well, specifically for the rest stuff. Because, I mean, I think I kind of know who you would talk about, or the verse you would talk about if you would.
Yeah. Man, a story. I'm trying to think.
Could be a book.
Yeah. Well, honestly, Shauna's book, Present
Over
Perfect. That's like the book that I highly recommend to everyone. Present Over Perfect. So good. And such an amazing, like, just the message that I really needed to hear, like, more of like building this new mindset of rest and building this mindset of saying no and putting yourself first sometimes, even if you let people down. That's something I've learned too, is like when you start to set boundaries for yourself that make you a healthier person with more of like downtime and stuff, some people are not going to be okay with that. Mm. And certain people are going to be angry that you're no longer giving what you were before. Right. And you have to be okay with disappointing people, which is so hard.
Yeah.
So you have to just prepare yourself that if you're going to get on this new journey of resting sometimes, like you're going to let people down, and that is okay. You're not, you can't be everything for everyone. Mm-hmm. And if you try to be everything for everyone, you're going to be nothing to no one. Like you're not going to be a significant person in anyone's life. Yep. You're just going to be this little glimmer. So I would say really Shauna's story inspired me these last few years to just sort of take a second look at myself and just the life that she describes. I mean, from day one with all of her books, she's so incredible. And she just describes the kind of life that I really want to have. Like, I want to be a writer. I mean, I am a writer, but I want to publish books and I want to be a mom and I want to have kids. And she does all those things. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know her, but like based on her stories, she does those things so beautifully. Like she totally focuses on community and hospitality, which is something that I feel really called to. Like I love setting a table for people and having people over for food. And that's just sort of the dream life. Like also I'm definitely living a lot more of a low key life now than I used to be. Like when I lived in LA, I would be going to concerts all the time, driving an hour to get out there in the LA traffic and going to the concert and then driving back.
A lot of energy.
A lot of energy and a lot of just go, go, go. Nowadays, just for the last few years, I've just really enjoyed being in either my home or someone else's home and just like sharing a meal together or a cup of tea or, you know, sitting in a coffee shop. Even the coffee shops that are too loud, I try to avoid. I don't really go out in crowds
That's a lot.
I feel like I'm just kind of healing from how my life has been in the previous years. I'm sort of like reacting to it and having this quieter, simpler life where I don't necessarily accept every social invitation or, and not that, oh, I'm too good or anything. It's just that I do know that I get overstimulated. So I'm trying to craft this new life that is simpler and quieter, but has a deeper sense of like richness to it. And that's what I'm going for. So I would say Shauna is kind of the story and, and really inspired by her, but sort of making that my own and taking it to the next level.
Yeah. And I guess too, like for the Bible verse that you were mentioning, it was probably be still and know that I'm God.
Be still and know that I'm God. And I also have another one that I found recently that I absolutely love. And then I drew a little picture of it and hung it up in my, in my room that I thought was cool. This is from Isaiah 43:19. And it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And I just think about that. Like, I feel like I was really in the wilderness of like busyness, just being this like sort of chaotic survival mentality. And making a way, just thinking of like this clear path that I'm following, and then streams in the wasteland. It's just sort of like you were, you know, thirsting and thirsting for something refreshing for so long, and now you're finally getting a chance to just sit and like enjoy that nourishment. So that's sort of like the image of God. God is doing that for me, and I'm constantly asking Him, you know, please help me. I did it again. I overbooked. Can you help me find rest? And then it's weird, like three things get canceled. I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks, God. That was really clear. So it's nice how things just sort of, when you ask God for help, He really does go above and beyond to meet your needs in all circumstances. So that's a big, big quote for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to wrap up, I just want to say, like, I really acknowledge you for always sharing your process and being in the middle of it. And also knowing that it might be something you struggle with the rest of your life. But if you can kind of overcome it every day and win the day, it's like it's so important. And you can end up having overall power over it. So, like, I just want to acknowledge you for that. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me,
sharing your story about rest and worthiness. And, you know, it's something that everybody struggles with, I'm sure, at least.
I know.
Yeah.
If anyone that is listening and they struggle, like, you can definitely message me and talk about tips and stuff. I always reply to my Instagram messages as much as I can.
So where can people find you on socials?
Yeah. Well, mainly, I mean, I'm on Twitter as Kath Sim and Instagram is Catherine Cimarelli. Those are honestly the main ones that I check. Cool. So just go on those. And our Patreon. I mean, I'm really active on our Patreon, too. So patreon.com/Cimarelli.
Sick. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me, Kira.
Thank you.
It's so much fun. I really
appreciate
enjoyed it.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for watching. If you want more content like this, you can subscribe to us on YouTube at the link in the description. And
also check out their Patreon page, patreon.com/whatsyourlifejourney, for exclusive inspirational content.
which you can find that in the description too. See ya.
Bye.